This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a look at environmental protection in the Trump administration with the announcement of an EPA secretary who's clashed with the agency in recent years.
First, the phrase fake news burst onto the scene over this election season with sources ranging from unreliable to completely made up, spreading stories rapidly via social media.
In a speech yesterday at the Capitol, Hillary Clinton referenced the problem.
The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year, it's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences. This isn't about politics or partisanship. Lives are at risk, lives of ordinary people just trying to go about their days to do their jobs, contribute to their communities.
That was in reference in part to last weekend's shooting incident at a Washington, D.C. pizza parlor when an armed man showed up claiming he wanted to investigate the so-called Pizzagate conspiracy theory spread online based on unsubstantiated reports of a child sex ring centered at the restaurant.
Our next guest says news consumers need to be on the lookout for false and misleading information and do some homework to make sure that they don't share news that isn't really news. She made a resource available to her class and then to the public called False, Misleading, Clickbaity, and or Satirical News Sources. It included a list of news sources to view skeptically and guidelines about how to spot misleading news.
That list is offline for retooling, but the guide is still there. We've got it linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Melissa Zimdars joins us now. She's an assistant professor of communication at Merrimack College and a graduate of UW-Milwaukee. Melissa, welcome back to Wisconsin.
Thanks for having me.
There's been a lot of focus, Melissa, on this phrase fake news lately, but you say you've written that's just part of a spectrum of unreliable information making the rounds. Can you lay out the rich tapestry of the different kinds of news we should treat more skeptically?
Yeah, so fake news is only the tip of the iceberg. We have fake news, sometimes false news, conspiracy theory news. Then other news is misleading. It might package facts as opinion or with other questionable information. Then you have sites that just rely on clickbait, hyperbole. So we need to think about all of these different things as we consider the kinds of news that we come across.
Well, sit down with us at a computer. We see something. Somebody shared it with us. It sounds maybe something we agree with, something we'd like to be true. How do we suss out whether this is something that is legit, something that we maybe should or shouldn't forward to our friends?
Totally. So this is going to sound kind of weird, but the first thing we need to do is actually read what we share. So some preliminary studies show that people don't actually read what they're sharing or retweeting. So we can start by just doing that. Then we can consider several clues within the sources themselves. If it links to a website, are there multiple authors or is everything written by the same person? If there's no author, that's usually a bad sign. We can also look to domain names that are disguised to look like real names. So ones that end in .com, .co, or that have WordPress or Blogger in the title. Stuff like that is an important tell.
Yeah, there are a lot of sites that look a little bit like a legitimate, maybe a TV news site or a newspaper site or AP or things like that, that are not that thing, right?
Exactly. So ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, almost every major news source has a fake version floating around out there, and it can be really confusing. I've fallen for them myself when I saw a headline that was sensational and, you know, only after investigating further, I realized that it wasn't true.
Let's look at some of the different kinds of news. The fake news itself, there are news sites for one reason or another where people are completely making up stories. What were some of the big hits that made the rounds that had no basis in fact whatsoever?
So a good example of this is a website called 70news.wordpress.com. So the domain actually isn't even being paid for. It's a free site that anyone can make on WordPress. And this was the top Google News link if you searched for Hillary Clinton popular vote. So this website claimed without any basis in facts that Hillary Clinton actually lost the popular vote by several million votes. And so this is what came up when people were Googling for accurate information on the topic.
And there are kids in Macedonia apparently making lots of money helping create and, more importantly, I guess, helping circulate these stories, right?
Yes. So some fake news originates in the U.S. by people that can profit from it. There's some people producing it as part of a hoax or part of troll or prankster culture. Then there's also people internationally that have figured out if they mimic journalistic practices, they can kind of work the system and have that news circulate here and make a significant amount of money based on advertising revenue by having it circulate.
Talking to Melissa Zimdars from Merrimack College about fake news and other unreliable sources of information that flow through social media really quickly. Let's turn to another kind you mentioned earlier, Melissa, conspiracy theories. Now, conspiracy theories are nothing new, but what kind of things are we seeing now that we're in this online world? I mean, this Pizzagate thing with a real-world consequence is one thing we saw. The allegations that the Sandy Hook Elementary School was... shooting was faked. Someone was just arrested for making death threats to the parents of one of the children killed because they believed this fake Sandy Hook conspiracy theory. Are we seeing more of these now?
Probably. And I think it's partially because of the speed at which these can circulate. So conspiracy theories have been around forever. And fake news actually has been around as long as journalism as an institution, as an idea, has been around. But now that we can share things so quickly and we can develop platforms for spreading information, basically we're seeing the democratization of information in action. And it has good effects and some negative effects. And with Pizzagate, we're lucky that it didn't lead to actual violence.
And then another form that you're worried about, clickbait. And this is just a really... I guess, sexed up headline, there might have been some initial grain of truth in it, but by the time it goes onto social media, it's been really twisted. What kind of things do we see there?
So clickbait is tricky because even respected sources of news can sometimes rely on clickbait because of the contemporary realities of journalism. People aren't paying for journalism. People aren't supporting public radio. And so in order to generate clicks, people have to rely on sensational headlines to catch the audience's attention. But sometimes this can lead to misleading information. The headline itself carries a lot of informative weight. So when you have words like, you know, Donald Trump destroys union leader, well, what does that exactly mean? And what is the reader getting out of that information without reading the article too?
It's amazing how many people have been eviscerated by late night talk show hosts or others, too, or our viscera would be all over the place if that were true.
Yep.
And then one more, and this one, this got contentious, partisan news sources. And when you had that initial list, you had sources on the right, like Breitbart. You had some satirical sources on the left as well. And you've written that some sites can be a combination where, you know, a news organization might have some legitimate news operations also combined with editorial, you know, opinion functions. How do we start to sort that out?
I think that is a really big deal. So sometimes mainstream companies will have blogs that exist under their banner, but the posts on those blogs don't go through the same editorial or fact-checking process. So Forbes is an example of this, Forbes blogs or BuzzFeed community posts. And so this is an issue across the political spectrum, as you noted. And I think part of what we're seeing is this turn toward truth and fiction and fact and opinion kind of being blurred together in order to generate interest and shares and likes. So partisan information isn't inherently bad, but it's when it's disguised that it becomes a problem.
Now, you had a personal experience. We mentioned you had initially that list that included false, misleading, clickbaity, or satirical news sources. It went viral on social media as, here's a list of fake news sites, which is not what you originally put out. What was it like to see your own creation get turned into clickbait, in effect?
It was incredibly frustrating to see a document that was supposed to encourage media literacy have almost the opposite effect. And it was interesting. A lot of conservative websites accused me of just being a liberal that was salty about the election. But liberal websites were accusing me of being a rogue conservative operative. So it was weird to be all of these things at the same time. And so that's why, partially why, at least, I decided to take it down until I could build out the data in a way that would be more useful to the general public.
What would you like to see for the mainstream media, if we want to call it that, or traditional media or legitimate media? I don't know if that's a good phrase. What phrase would you use, first of all? And what can they do to make sure that legitimate news, research news gets out there? And when it's wrong, it gets corrected.
So I think that we need to take several steps for, I guess we'll say, mainstream news. So that can encompass profit, you know, nonprofit, alternative, mainstream. We need to gain the trust back of so many of the viewers and readers who aren't seeking out that information anymore. And it's not entirely clear why, but I think some practices in contemporary journalism, like using clickbait or like even reporting on Google Docs or tweets without considering whether they're valid. So, you know, recently there was a hoax about CNN accidentally airing pornography. A lot of news sources ran with it, and it turned out to be a hoax. So we need to do our due diligence in reporting so that people can trust what they're reading and start turning back towards these sources.
And we keep seeing that more and more of us are getting our news. Our first source of it is links from social media, Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. What would you suggest we as consumers do to stop the flow of fake news and otherwise misleading news?
I think one thing is to support local media. So it's not a secret that local and state and regional news organizations have really struggled. I'm encouraged by some of the reports showing in the last month or two that that's starting to turn. And I think when we can support these different media entities, they'll be able to do the work that's necessary. They'll have time to fact check. They'll have time to investigate issues. And I think once we start supporting our media, then they can start doing what they are meant to do.
We'll leave it there for now, Melissa. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We're talking to Melissa Zimdars, Assistant Professor of Communication at Merrimack College, talking about fake news, clickbait, and other unreliable forms of information.